Welcome to the Energizing India podcast, a program that focuses on electric vehicle mobility in India and how change can be brought about in this sector much faster. Joining me on the program today is Maxine Lewis, Chief Executive Officer of Magenta Power. Maxine has spent many years in Canada and Singapore before returning to India. His experience has been in the automotive sector, then as a consultant within Accenture in the consultancy industry, and finally now as an entrepreneur within the clean energy and clean mobility sectors in India. It's Wednesday, the 9th of September, World EV Day. Maxine, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Ravin, and thank you so much for this opportunity to be here at your campus in Atador. It's always a pleasure to be interacting with you on platforms like this.
Maxine, we bought an espresso machine specifically for you because we know you like espressos, and the first one has been made for you. What did you think of the coffee?
As a coffee buff, interesting. Because that brings me to those days, you know, back in Canada, years when I used to spend a lot more on coffee than what I used to earn. And at the end of the month, you know, my balance sheet said coffee, coffee, coffee. So thank you so much for this coffee. Really made my day. Thank you.
Maxine, I'm going to put you on the spot. You run India's largest charge point operator, and yet you drove up in a diesel SUV. I'm interested in why that happened.
So yes, I'm in a spot here because I don't like myself to be seen in a non-electric vehicle. 2017, we took a decision in Magenta that if we are pioneering an ecosystem, might as well be part of it and be using it. And as a person who believes in it, yes, I always use electric vehicles. Unfortunately, today, my electric vehicle, last time when we were here, we brought the electric vehicle all the way here because we have our own charging infrastructure and we wanted to show that confidence to ourselves and to others. But today, my electric vehicle has gone to a client, which is Airports Authority of India, where we are doing some testing for the infrastructure that we are putting up for them. So that's why I'm here in a diesel. And I'm not happy about it.
It's good to know that the Airports Authority of India is looking at charge point operators to support charging it. I'm expecting it's probably at airport car parks for vehicles or passengers.
At this point, no. It's a pilot which is being done outside. But yes, sooner or later, that's going to come inside the air side of it.
Oh, even better, air side. So all of the cargo handling and passenger buses, even better. How exciting. I'm interested, Maxine, for our listeners, tell us about Maxine. Who is Maxine?
I would call myself an ecopreneur. A couple of years in the corporate space. Just to give a background, 5 years in the automotive industry with multinationals like Saint-Gobain and Bosch, then my master's, then 13 years with the power sector, building power plants. I call it dirty energy power plants, you know, building. I was responsible for close to build up of 10,000 megawatts of coal-based power plants across the globe. Having lived in Canada, Singapore, Australia, Hong Kong, then places like Jharsuguda, Lanjigarh, Korba, Nok in India. And then the transition happened towards clean energy when I was invited by the government of Indonesia to look at the Electrification 2020 program. And when I landed there, I thought I'll burn more coal, set up more coal-based power plants. And then they said, no, you can do it in other countries. But here, while we have coal, we are looking at the transition to clean energy. And close to around 800 power plants using new technologies. And that's when the transition happened, when I realized you could move towards cleaner energy. And then Magenta happened. So that's me, really speaking. And a lot of, as an ecopreneur, I look for opportunities to solve challenges transitioning towards cleaner energy.
So I like that ecopreneur. I've really not heard someone use that before, but your journey in many ways is similar to ours. We spent a long time in coal. The entire genesis is about cleaning the stack of hydrocarbons that comes out of a coal-fired power station. And we went the same way as you did into clean energy. It is a very difficult road, not just around the world, but particularly so in India. There's so many things that impact the success of clean energy and clean mobility from the policy perspective, regulatory infrastructure. The entire ecosystem, in fact, is challenged at every level along the way. If we were to dive straight into that very crunchy subject of ecosystem challenges, from the perspective of a CEO of a company trying to bring charge point operations to India and clean mobility to India, how do you see this whole 360 degrees of the ecosystem in India?
So that's an interesting point, you know, having that ecosystem view, trying to understand what are all the impact points towards making a successful or creating unsuccessful points of failure towards this ecosystem. We've had 100 years of the industry supporting the ICE, or when I say ICE, I mean petrol and diesel vehicles, supporting the entire growth of that industry. And now when we're talking about electric vehicles, that requires a lot of interfaces. I mean, it's not about just buying a vehicle or just getting a vehicle on road. You need to look at the power producing companies. Then you need to look at how that power reaches the point of dispensing. Then at the point of dispensing, there's about the charging infrastructure. Then there's real estate. And then there's the technology angle. Because for me, electric vehicles is actually a mobile phone with four wheels and a steering. It's essentially that. It has a battery, it has a PMS, it also has communication. So all of these need to fall in place, and that's when the entire ecosystem, then there's no stopping back. And that's when I believe each part of it has to come together and work in tandem for the ecosystem to grow.
So having said all of that, Maxon, it's interesting that you and your team at a very early stage took the dive into clean mobility in India and clean energy in India. It must have taken a lot of courage, given that there wasn't a lot of traction and there wasn't a lot of support for what you were doing. Perhaps you can tell us a little bit about your company. What does Magenta do, and what are the various elements of e-mobility that you are bringing to the industry through your companies?
Right. So Magenta has two principles, statements, is enable clean mobility and make electricity clean. And 2018, when people did not even know what was EV, when we talked about EV, what is EV was the question. We set up India's first solar-based EV charging station. That was 13th June 2018. Then 13th August 2018, we set up the Bombay-Pune highway, enabling it to go electric by putting up those charging station. September 2018, we set up India's first electric vehicle metering system that was with MSEDCL, which allowed us to use the EV tariff. That's an EV tariff meter in simple terms. So a lot of work happened in 2018. And at that point in time, yes, it was a bit difficult to go through that, where people, the question was whether this industry is going to come through. It was a bet on the future. We did invest in that, but today I think when I look back in time, it was an investment well worth it, because today, as a company, we call ourselves the socket to software company now. Right? Each part of the challenge for enabling electric mobility is understood by us. We have solved part of it, and we are on our way to solving most part of it. And we are working with partners like you and seeing how we can solve each part of it. And that's what we have done. As a company, ChargeGrid is a platform for the e-mobility. So if anyone wants to set up charging infrastructure, come to us, be it the hardware, software, at least we know people who can put it, we can put it all together for them.
An ecopreneur who has built a company from socket to software. I like it. I can see a book already coming about this. But I want to come back to the juicy bit that you talked about. And I remember it must have been 2, 3, 4 years ago that Minister Gadkari said he had a deadline of 2030 when everything will be electrified in India and no ICE vehicle will be sold in India. And of course, over time, that has been backtracked to that being a recommendation to the industry. So we moved from a very hard position to a soft position of let's see if we can make that happen as a target. Why do you think that happened? Why did that major change in backtrack have to happen?
So I think as a position, Magenta's position, my personal position, in fact, I would put it this way, is what it did, that hard position, actually got a lot of people unseated from their positions of laid back. Oh, this is how life is going to be. It's going to be petrol and diesel vehicles which are going to run. So I think it made people stand up and take notice of EV. Because very interestingly, it's not in 2017. But a lot of things had been happening in India in the background. But that statement of the Honorable Minister actually kind of made people look up and notice. But of course, I would have expected it to be a lot more considered view, having taken into account that you cannot kind of make a statement and then think what are the consequences, especially when there's an ecosystem view, right? It could have been easy with, okay, transitioning from today, I can say no petrol, tomorrow diesel, because all the ecosystem is already in place, right? But for an industry which had to start from scratch, or rather not scratch, really speaking, that, but from a very low point in infrastructure to building all of that up, that statement came out a bit harsh, especially because there were a lot of other changes that were happening. But I think now, fortunately, that statement has triggered a lot of discussion, etc. And kind of, so while there's a negative, I also like to look at it positively and say, no, it triggered some actions. What should be done right now is take the ecosystem view. There's a lot of challenges. And unless and until you take the entire industry along, this possibility that the right solutions may not come through. The smart solutions may not come through. The easier solutions may come through. Because you have a deadline, you have to meet that. You have a position, point position. So don't. I would strongly urge a lot of considered decision across, be it policy across each of these ministries.
I was in fact really proud when Minister Gadkari said 2030 was the deadline, because it almost seemed like at that time that India would be the first country to move to all electric, and it heralded 1949 when India was the first country to move to all airmail, or 1960 when Air India was the first airline in the world to be all jet, having moved away from turboprop. It almost had that seminal moment to it, 2030, India all electric. And I think you're right. Just the fact that he made that statement made everybody sit up and look. And 3 years later, the whole world of automotive in India seems to have changed. There's the comment you were making, people's views in 2019 versus 2020 are very different on electric vehicles, as you were saying.
Very interestingly, yesterday's discussion on this, I mean, let's talk about a Tesla. People put their trust in Tesla because of the ecosystem it created. There is, to be honest, in India, there is not that one person or a company whom people trust who says, hey, listen, buy my product, I'll give you the end-to-end service or the ecosystem. I may not have solutions to all, but I know have partners who bring it all. I think India is, for the EV to take off, they're looking for that one person and that one company who says, yes, go ahead. Because trust is an issue. So the short answer is yes, it's an issue, because an automotive buying decision in India especially is not a decision of a year or two. It's typically, 5 years. 20 years earlier, now it's reducing, but at least it's a 5-year decision. And there's a lot of hard-earned money that's being spent on that. So if your technology is not able to back you when you need it most, right? And when I say technology, then building it back to a company which is not there when you need it most, it's an issue. And that's one of the reasons why people with the ability to spend on electric vehicles and the ability are still taking that decision. They're looking for that right trusted partner to provide that ecosystem solution. And when I say ecosystem, doesn't mean that a company needs to own everything. But it will have those partners playing together. And when that happens, yes, the transition is going to happen.
It's so interesting. So many elements of the puzzle need to come together in order for us to achieve this 2030 target of electrification. I'm going to back it up with a rather juvenile question, but I'm trying to just go more profound in your thought process here. Given all that you've just said, if you had the opportunity to be Prime Minister of India for one day and you could make any decision you want for the e-mobility industry, what would it be?
Wow, that's... I don't want to be in that space where I have to take a decision which has an impact on the entire. I would open up the land banks of government infrastructure or the government entities for setting up charging infrastructure, to be honest. I mean, that's very close to magenta, but That's where that answer comes in quickly, you know. I need two decisions. So one is this one. I'm going to extend it to, since you have given me that option to take my decisions. One is because there's a lot of land banks which are not being utilized, not being optimized. Here we have an opportunity. Let's do that. Second, and the more important one, I will invest in mineral securitization. Because as a prime minister, I think I have power to do that. Because our closest competition right now owns so much lithium reserves or, you know, the mineral reserves. And the entire electric mobility will be dependent upon the supply chain. And the biggest supply chain, which is 40% equivalent in terms of value terms, is the cells. I would do everything in my power today to make sure that my industry is able to secure those. Because it's not only about electric mobility, it's about energy, right? Because the new oil is electricity. It's in just it's in mobile phones already. It's going to be in electric vehicles. So I think that is one decision I'm going to do. If I were the Prime Minister of India, I would go all out. My foreign tours would all have been about how I secure the lithium and other mineral reserves. Yeah. That's my answer.
It's interesting that you say that. It's a very good answer. I'll challenge you a little bit on energy security with the question of whether our security is better generated by lithium or, in fact, the next fuel that comes beyond lithium, which is hydrogen, which uses lithium, but in fact, a lot less lithium for the same amount of mobility because the energy is not stored in the chemistry of lithium, but in the chemistry of the hydrogen molecule converted by a fuel cell to charge the lithium. So you need a tenth of the lithium. As the CEO of a company that is heavily invested in clean mobility, are you a little worried that you are yourself in a transition economy where, you know, 10 years from today, in fact, there won't be the need for chargers, it might be everything moving towards hydrogen? Or are you of the opinion that both will coexist because one addresses a range anxiety market and the other addresses a city mobility market? Where's your views at a top level on a company so committed to the lithium charge industry, so to speak?
So this is where people miss it when I say it's clean mobility, and clean mobility encompasses electric and the hydrogen system as well. But we have a view on where there are going to be use cases. There's going to be use cases for swapping. There's going to be use cases for charging using electricity. And there's going to be a use case for hydrogen as well. And largely for long distance transports, especially the trucking business. We are already aware of it. It's going to take time. It's just started. But I think, yes, it doesn't keep me awake. It keeps me excited. It keeps me excited that there's that's one problem. If that is solved, then this entire transition, because see, our intent is not to move from to electric. The intent is to move to clean mobility. And when you have that, all of these options can be part of that, Chinese menu that we provide. Maybe next year when we have a conversation like this, probably we will be working in the hydrogen space as well, working with partners. But that's a different ecosystem, and I'm looking forward to it. I believe that it does have a use case, a very strong use case for long-distance transportation.
So on the ecosystem with all the different silos, which of these silos needs to be the first big domino to fall and have a clear traction and vision of where to go between regulatory policy, infrastructure development, battery industry, car manufacturers, charge point operators? Everything needs to come together, as you've said, continuously the theme of this conversation. Where do you think the first big domino is for this in India? Everyone says it's batteries. Batteries are unavailable. Batteries are too expensive. But that's clearly not the case because the cost of batteries are dropping. And from our perspective, we are dealing with people making investments in lithium self-packing plants, by the numbers, by the tens, if not hundreds now, coming to India. So where's the first domino in your experience and opinion?
Right. I mean, interestingly, I'm just going to go back to the battery, which someone called it the Maxson's Law. And I'm very happy he did that. I quoted this. It's like every year you're going to have battery prices dropping by 1/4. And that's happening. If you track it, it's going to happen until the time you reach a certain point. But in this entire business of silos, I think the automotive industry's readiness to move towards electric mobility. I think that's going to be the, And if they're still stuck in that point that, hey, listen, no, electric mobility is too far out in the, or clean mobility is far out in the future, that's the big kind of a siloed view of the automotive industry, which is going to fall. That's my big one. And I'm happy that a lot of automotive companies are now thinking beyond it. Soon, I believe that the utility company, so like the automotive industry who are stuck in that silo, there's a utility industry which has always thought of, hey, I am the one who provides you power and you have no other option. That's going to change. Is it changing? Look at Australia. People can look at Europe. I mean, today you can choose which electricity supply you want to. That's the second silo which is going to collapse. And that has to collapse because technology is faster than their ability to hold it back together. So these are the two silos that I think the automotive industry and the power industry, that's going to collapse.
Excellent. You've opened my mind to that. I hadn't actually thought about the fact that the power industry is the next domino. And in all of this, we haven't even talked policy and regulatory yet. It's all about the industry and the players being willing to make it themselves. So the concept that has been floating around India since Corona has been one that the Prime Minister brought up, which was Atmanirbhar Bharat, or a self-reliant India. So Atmanirbhar e-mobility in Bharat, what is your view on what we need to do in order to be able to achieve this self-reliance for clean mobility in India?
I'm one person who doesn't believe in subsidies. Any artificial inputs to the industry always is a short-term gain. And that's where I'll move away the entire discussion from subsidy. The Atmanirbharta will come from innovation. And that innovation is not going to happen just because you push a person to go hungry, he will not innovate. You need to provide him that sustenance to innovate. And that's what I think is, you need these innovation hubs. Like, I mean, talking about NASSCOM, which did that innovation in IT that happened, you need innovation in EV. Yeah? And that innovation is what is going to drive Atmanirbhar. Otherwise, we'll always take the easier approach of importing. That's one. So, and that's going to drive. And the problem with innovation is you need to have, it requires time. And that's what government needs to support. Second is the manufacturing. Atmanirbharta will come not because you say it, but you do something. What is the cost of power in India? One of the highest, right? As compared to many other countries. What is the cost of the setting up an industry by itself? Difficult, still difficult. It's getting easier, but it's not easy. And unless you do this, the younger generation which wants to move towards clean mobility or innovate in clean mobility won't be able to do that. We'll be stuck. We'll be stuck with a slogan. We need to get out of it.
Maxon, this has been the most enjoyable conversation, and I personally have learned a lot. You have talked about the ecosystem, the challenges the ecosystem faces, and the fact that it's not really policy or regulatory, but the dominoes that need to move first are the OEMs, the car manufacturers, as well as the power distribution companies, for customers to have the trust to be able to make the decision now in 2020 to move from an ICE vehicle to electric vehicles. And I really enjoyed your question of what you would do if you were the Prime Minister of India to help this sector. Thank you, Max, and thank you so much for making the time. I look forward to the next time we speak.
Thank you, Ravin. Thanks for this opportunity to be here and to share my thoughts. It's always a pleasure talking to you and, you know, have those moments of talking about these ideas. And I look forward to such opportunities, and I wish you and your team all the best on this.
Thank you for joining us on the Energizing India podcast. Our next program, which will follow, focuses on the lithium industry in India and what needs to happen within battery manufacturing for the electric vehicle mobility industry to grow as fast as possible.